Try that. There we go. Today's the first Sunday in the month, and the first Sunday of the month each month, we focus on mission and ministry that is associated with this family. So we've got a number of our family members that have given themselves vocationally, themselves voluntarily into a broad and wonderful range of missions and ministry, both locally, some domestically across Australia and even around the world. And today, our focus is mission in our schools. So mission in our schools right here on the Central Coast. And so we know that we've got and have always had like a number of teachers in our family, and we're desperately grateful for our teachers who give themselves to this incredibly important mission and ministry to our kids on the coast. And we've also got a number of people who volunteer or are in paid capacities with SRE in schools. And so this morning, Brad is going to be sharing with us, and that's specifically going to be around SRE in primary schools. And right now, I am Lisa Smith. So when you look at me, you see Lisa. Lisa's not able to be with us this morning. Lee's been quite unwell, and so Lee was actually admitted to hospital last night. And so can we be praying for them? Things are not particularly straightforward in everything that's going on there, so we just want to be mindful of the Smith family at the moment. We'll have an opportunity shortly to pray for them. But in typical Lisa style, even though she's navigating all of that, she has sent me through her SRE report to read out. So we'll do that. She had two other things planned to do this morning that we'll postpone and do on another day. One of those was a puppet show, so there's something we can look forward to another day. She had also organised that the Bree team, the youth team that had recently been on the mission trip out west, that they've got a presentation and update to bring. She desperately wanted to be here for that, so that'll happen on another day. So here is Lisa's report. My apologies for not being able to speak with you this morning. I would, however, like to bring you a brief update on what has been happening in the high school space of SRE. For anyone who is not familiar with what I do, I am employed by the Tugra Lakes Christian Education Board as a full-time SRE teacher in two of our local high schools, Tumby and Berkeley Vale. My partner in crime is Warren Eckerman, who teaches at the senior campus, and that's at the entrance high. This is actually my 23rd year of teaching SRE. Like, my goodness, is that lady faithful. What a stayer. Across both schools, I teach year 7 to 10. This equates to 16 classes per fortnight. In both schools, I also lead lunchtime groups where students have the opportunity to further explore the Bible with games and discussion. These groups are attended by both Christian students and those still exploring. They also often provide a good connection point to direct students to local youth groups. I'm also actively involved in the wellbeing space in both of my schools. Another big part of our school's ministry is the organisation of an annual SRE camp called Fuse. Many of you would be familiar with Fuse Camp and have been big supporters of this in the past. Over the years, we have seen over 200 young people make decisions to follow Jesus through Fuse Camp and be connected with local youth groups. Many of them have naturally wound up attending youth here at Coast. The final piece in the puzzle is our mission trip, Bree, which is short for Brewarrina. Bree was born out of two things. First, as a church, we were beginning to shift to a very intentional missional focus. And second, I wanted to provide an opportunity for some of my students whom I've been discipling for a number of years to extend their own faith journey by learning how to serve others and share the gospel. And so Bree was born. To be on Bree team, the youth had to fill in an application form. One young person stated that their life has been transformed through both Fuse Camp and Bree, that they such that they wanted to share, now want to share the life-changing message of Jesus with others so that they too could be transformed. This is indeed the heart and purpose of Bree. This year was our second trip. Myself and the team and had an incredible time away, and we look forward to sharing more with you about that soon. If you want to know more about how you can support High School SRE, please speak to Pete Maroos. And so Pete is Coast Community Tumby's representative on the board. Or catch up with me after the service. Me, Jeff. Yeah, or Lisa. I'm confusing myself now. We particularly need people to partner with us in prayer. We're also looking for people to consider becoming regular financial supporters. Finances are low at the moment. There's a risk that we may have to cut teaching days. Thank you so much for all of your ongoing prayer and support. It means a lot to me. There's a sign-up sheet on the front table here, and that sign-up sheet, if you don't receive the regular email update from Lisa and the SRE team, then you can sign up on that sheet, and you can also just mark on there if you want somebody to contact you about being a regular financial giver. What Lisa has said here is Lisa has also been faithfully leading our youth ministry here for many, many years, and the way that she does that is she connects her ministry in the high schools with the youth ministry here, with Fuse Camp, with the Bree Mission. Those things are all stitched up together. And so our youth ministry here is fairly unique in that it's full of kids from the local high schools. It's brilliant. She's thought through it really, really well, and she's been very faithful for a lot of years. So I wonder if you might just want to take a moment at your tables. Brad's going to hop up at the moment. But before he does, can I ask you that at your table that you would pray for Lee and Lisa? That you would pray that whatever needs to be happening in terms of Lee's medical care and attention, that would be forthcoming and really, really quickly and well. Pray for the SRE ministry into the high schools, and pray for these young people that are being impacted through that mission. Can I ask you to do that for a minute or two, and then Brad will carry on.
Okay. Isn't that exciting that 200 kids have come to the Lord through that camp, that one camp? It's just so exciting. What I'd like to look at this morning is Jesus' teaching on children. What did Jesus... I'd like you to have a look at this picture. What did Jesus think about children, little children in particular? We're going to start with a video.
T-shirts here. Get your T-shirts.
Fish on a stick. Why wait for a miracle when you can eat a tasty fish right now? Get a fish on a stick while they last.
Can we get a fish on a stick, Mommy?
Maybe later, sweetie. First, let's find a good seat where we can see Jesus.
There he is, Mommy. There's Jesus. Come on, let's go meet him.
Wait, honey. Excuse me. Pardon me. Cindy.
Slow down before you get a huge problem.
This is your daughter, ma'am?
Yeah, she belongs to me. I'm so sorry. She was so excited to see Jesus in person.
There he is, Mommy. I'm going to go talk to him.
Code Blue! I repeat, we have a Code Blue! There's a security breach in Quadrant 3. Subject is heading north, northwest towards Morning Star. Subject is about 4 feet, 2 inches, wearing a blue dress with pink polka dots.
Her name is Cindy. She is harmless.
Proceed with caution. The subject may be armed and dangerous.
She's only 4 years old.
Jesus!
James, what are you doing?
It was Code Blue, Jesus, but I stopped the subject and everything is under control.
Hiya! Everyone stay calm. Jesus, I'm the one who spotted the violator first. James is only following my orders. You may continue teaching. I'll take care of the girl.
There'll be no need for your help, Peter. I'll make sure this girl does not disturb Jesus.
Drop the girl now, James. I'll handle this.
Both of you stop. Put Cindy down right now. Please be careful.
Mommy, Jesus knows my name.
Peter and James, we'll talk about this later. But right now, I want all the children to come to me. And nobody better stop them. Come here, Cindy.
Oh no! What do we do?
Jesus said not to stop them. This ought to be good.
Now this is what the kingdom of God is like. You all should become just like these children. Now, Cindy, tell me about your pet rabbit Buttons. Taught him any tricks yet?
You know about Buttons?
Wow, Jesus really loves the little children.
Yeah, all of the children of the world.
There's red, yellow, black, and white.
They're all precious in his sight.
Hey, that's kind of catchy. Jesus loves the little children.
Get your picture taken with Jesus!
Cheese sticks here! Get your cheese sticks!
Okay. Look at me and say cheese!
Mommy, look! There I am with Jesus! He's my best friend, Mommy.
Yes, Cindy, he is.
T-shirt!
Okay, that's great, isn't it? I love showing that. It's probably one of my favorite videos that I show in Scripture. But yeah, just that concept, you know, of Jesus. First of all, the disciples, you know, like they wanted to prove themselves, you know, and Jesus is basically saying, no, the children. So I'd like to just look at a couple of passages from the Bible. So this one here, an argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Could we just advance that? Then he said to them, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is least among you all who is the greatest. And when you think about that, like even in our society now, that is a revolutionary concept. You know, the fact that a child, a little child, you just imagine, we don't have any little children now, but there's Jesus, there's a little child, and there's the 12 disciples. And Jesus is saying, it's the little child. Whoever welcomes this little child welcomes me. If it's the one who's the least. So the one who was the least in that gathering was the child. And then so Jesus is saying, it's the child who was the greatest. And you know, in that era, like children were worthless virtually. Women were worthless. You know, it was all about men. So for Jesus to say a little child is the greatest would just be mind-blowing. It's a bit like, remember how we had our series on the Sermon on the Mount and all the things that Jesus said were topsy-turvy. You know, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. This is another one of those revolutionary sort of countercultural things that Jesus is trying to get across, the message of children. What I'd like to think about is what are some of the qualities of children that Jesus is trying to get us to sort of emulate? So let's just have a look at the next slide. Yep. Okay. I'm used to talking to kids, not adults. So I'm just going to pretend this is a scripture lesson. So what are some of the qualities that people think that Jesus is? A few people like to have a go. Innocent. Yeah, innocence. What's another one? Any others? Trust, yep. Open-minded, yep, okay. Playful, yeah, okay. One more. Sorry? Honest, okay. They're great, great answers. So we could go to the next slide. The sort of things that I was thinking of is belief. So children will believe you. Versus, you know, adults often become skeptical and cynical. Trust, children are trusting. You know, we have to teach kids about stranger danger because they're trusting. Versus adults, you know, we get doubts as we get older. Dependency, they're really dependent. on parents and adults. Whereas as we get older, we become more self-sufficient, which is a good thing, but it's a bad thing as well because we lose out. We don't get to trust God. Openness to learn. Di said openness to learn. And as we get older, we get our opinions and we start to close our mind about different things. Innocence versus loss of innocence. Humility versus pride. So I was looking at these things on the right and it really reminded me of a song from 1979. One of my favourite songs, which I thought, oh, that's a great segue to play this song. So, okay. So we're going to have a look at some of the words of this song.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. A miracle, oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees, they'd be singing so happily. Oh, joyfully, oh, playfully, watching me. But then they sent me away, teach me how to be sensible, logical, oh, responsible, practical. And then they showed me a world where I could be so dependable, oh, clinical, oh, intellectual, cynical. There are times when all the world's asleep.
Yeah, so it really reminded me of that, didn't it? You know, I think Jesus was thinking about that when he's talking to them about being a child. You know, we grow up and there's a lot of good things about becoming clinical and intellectual and all those sort of things, but then we lose a lot of childlikeness, which I think Jesus wants us to have. So I love this where he says in that verse, he says, well, whoever welcomes this little child in Jesus' name welcomes me. And I was thinking about that and I'm thinking, how often do we do that? How often do we welcome a child in Jesus' name? And then the next question, how can we do that? How can we incorporate that into our lives, welcoming a child in Jesus' name? So we're going to have another video here. And this video, some of the word language is in the King James Version of the Bible. But the more I watch this video, it kind of fits in with the video. So I'd like you to look at this video and think about a question, well, how does Jesus, what does Jesus think about kids, children? And it's interesting to watch the face on the disciples, James and Peter. Have a look at their faces during it, and it's sort of quite interesting. Okay, thanks.
Master is in need of rest.
Please, please.
Peter, James.
Suffer the little children to come unto me. And forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein.
Isn't that a beautiful video? What are some of the things, that the way that Jesus interacts with the children, that impressed you in that video? What are some of the things that you, that, how he reacted? Anyone got anything that really stood out to them? Yeah, got down to the level. He was right down with them, wasn't he? He wasn't looking down on them, speaking down to them. He was down on their level. Any other things? Sorry? They were special to him. Yeah, they were special. Yes, Renia. He what, sorry? Yeah, he disregarded the adults. Yeah. Yeah, remember the look on the disciples, like on Peter and James, you know, they sort of had this, they couldn't understand it. What's he spending time with kids, you know? These are just children. Yeah, some of the things that I thought that impressed me about that is that he spent time with them. You know, he spent quality time with them. He listened to them. He played their games. He taught them and he prayed with them. So that was his example in that video. And I suppose the thing is, how can we do that? How can we spend quality time with children, listen to them, play their games? There's a great story in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about Jesse. He had 8 sons. And remember the story, Saul is a king and God's not happy with Saul, so he's going to choose a new king. So he sends Samuel along to Jesse, and Jesse's got 8 sons. He says, oh, okay, one of your sons is going to be king. So all the sons come out and he sees a big strapping older son. He looks like he's a warrior. He's going to be a great king. He's the God one. God says to Samuel, no, it's not him. So he looks at the next son. He's a pretty strong, strapping guy. It's not that one. Goes through all 7 sons who are there, and it's not any of them. And they, you know, Jesse can't work it out. Samuel can't work it out. Samuel says to Jesse, you got any more? And he said, well, I've got the kid, the little guy. He's out looking after the sheep. And Samuel says, well, bring him in. And he brings him in. And the Bible says he sort of had this ruddy appearance because he was outside looking after the sheep. He was probably scruffy. He was probably a fairly precocious kid, knowing, you know, if you look at the rest of David's life. But then God said, he's the one. He's the one. And remember what God said? He said, man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. God could see the heart of a child. And even though the brothers was big and strong men, God chose the child because of his heart, so God can see children's hearts. And David went on to become the greatest king Israel ever had before Jesus. And Jesus is the son of David. So that's interesting, you know, that God can see the heart of a child and chose a child. So we've got another, if we could go to the next slide. So this is another story that Jesus, a parable Jesus told them. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And we could have the next slide, thanks. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home and he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. So is this story about sheep? Is it just about sheep? Who were the lost sheep? Who were the lost sheep in our community? And then, especially if we're thinking about children, who were the lost children in our community? And how can we go out and find them? What can we do? If you have a look on your table, I've got some handouts, and I'd just like to read to you a story from Anna Davis that she told us. So Anna Davis is teaching scripture. She's a paid scripture teacher. She teaches in 3 schools. Sorry, she teaches in 8 schools, 14 classes, over 500 children a week. She says, I've been praying for new kids to join our SRE classes, and I have a really encouraging story to share with you. Today at one of my schools, I had a new year three student join SRE. SRE stands for Scripture or Special Religious Education. He shared that he had been watching the lesson each week since the start of the year through the window in the withdrawal room. That's the room where kids go when they're not doing SRE. and he had been begging his dad for the past few weeks to sign the SRA form, but the dad said no. But this week, the dad finally said yes, and he was so excited to join us. It really melted my heart, and I thank God that what he's doing behind the scenes in schools. Then I head off to my next class upstairs, and you won't believe it, five new and students in year four and five joined SRE for the first time. They too had been listening and watching from the room next door, peeping through the windows, asking their parents if they can come to SRE. What a blessing, and yes, God certainly answers prayers. Isn't that lovely? And they're the lost sheep. There's so many kids who are lost sheep. I've been teaching scripture for about 20 years, and my wife Verity has been doing the same. We teach in seven different classes over 2 days, right in this area: Killarney Vale School, Brook Avenue, Batow Bay, the entrance. And it's amazing how many kids have no knowledge of God at all. It's such a great opportunity. Lots of kids become Christians through scripture. And I'd just like Di to come up, if it's okay, and just share a little bit about how she became a Christian. Thanks, Di.
So I don't remember a lot about it, but we had scripture at my school at Willoughby, and I think it was for everyone, everyone did it. And I just remember this one day, I was in year two, and the scripture teacher must have said something like, "You can ask Jesus into your heart," because for that, as soon as we came out of class, I spent the whole recess not playing with my friends, but I just walked up and around my playground just asking Jesus into my heart. And like, it was just the first seed that was planted. I didn't actually sort of become a Christian in terms of church and so forth till I was 27, but it was just so beautiful because I had a very traumatic childhood and stuff, so it was great to be able to pray to God all that time. And you know, just my journey just continued on, and I would say I turned from Eeyore to Tigger because of God.
Thanks, that's great. So when you share there's a thing called the 4 to 14 window. And basically what that is that 85% of people become a Christian between the ages of 4 to 14. So it's a really influential period when kids are open to the gospel. Another statistic is that if you share the gospel with the kids in that age group, about a third of them become a Christian. So basically, like, say, Verity and I, we've got about 100 kids that we're teaching scripture to during the week, there's a good chance that about 33 of those over the year will become Christians. So it's a really fruitful ministry. It's the parable of the sower. It's sowing the seed into the good soil. The interesting thing, I've got a question for you. A lot of people I talk to about scripture, they have become, like Dive, they become a Christian through scripture. And invariably, nearly the answer is, I say, what made you become a Christian through scripture? What was it? And they nearly always say, there was this little old lady who was really kind and loving. It's really interesting. It's not about what they were taught or whatever. It was just this little old, I mean, unfortunately or fortunately that they do it, most of the scripture teachers are older women. Unfortunately, there's not that many men and there's not many younger people doing it. But that seems to be the thing. It's just the love and kindness showed by the teachers that seem to have a big impact on the kids' lives. So we've got another video now, and I'd just like to go to that next video thing.
She was a great teacher. She was very patient and kind.
She's kind and gentle, and she loves all kids, and she takes her time when she could be just having a rest at her house.
I remember she worked really hard, somehow managed to remember every person's name.
Giving them a sense of God and knowing Jesus and the Holy Spirit in their lives will give them a feeling of security, that they aren't alone, that there is someone to talk to when things get tough, that they are blessed.
In SRE, we get to sort of nurture and grow that faith, whether it's planting that initial seed of faith or whether it's watering it. My greatest joy is when you see kids sitting in your class and they ask genuine questions and they're thinking for themselves about what they're hearing and what they're learning.
Well, I would put anything aside to teach children about Jesus. Like, that's, you know, I would put that first.
Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for more workers." So if we could have the final slide, please. So, okay, the question is, how can we help? What can we do? So for primary SRE on the Central Coast, I suppose the first thing we can do is pray. So when we see this school zone flashing sign and we think, oh, damn it, I've got to slow down, I'm going to be late. Maybe we could, instead of thinking that, we can think, let's pray. How about I pray for this school? Pray for the scripture teachers there. Pray for the kids. Pray for the chaplain at that school. Pray for the headmaster who decides. You know, we're finding the scriptures getting pushed to the periphery more. You know, our classes are becoming the last class at the end of the day when everyone's tired, instead of right at the beginning. They're moving us around, so it's making it a bit harder, you know. So we could just pray for all those things. The interesting thing in Scripture, you can't do Scripture in Victoria now. There's no Scripture in the ACT. But the interesting thing in Queensland and New South Wales, there are actually more kids doing Scripture than there are people attending all churches. So we call Scripture school church. So there's more people in school church than there are in all the other churches. So it's an amazing ministry. And it's something, I think, to some extent, because it's children and we might have this attitude that kids are not that important, that's neglected. So it's really important. The interesting thing about our church is that it's very focused on children when you just look at our ministries with our church. So we've got the school. We've got a preschool starting at Bensville. We've got a preschool here. We've got youth group. You know, we've got fuel camp. We've got a whole lot of kids' activities, which is really exciting. And we have scripture teachers here. So Diane, where's Diane? She's here. She's just starting scripture. She's just done all the training. And Verity, she did a lesson with Verity the other week. Esther is not here today. She's teaching scripture. So we've got people from our church teaching scripture. We've got people who have really generously donated to sponsor a class. So there's a number of people in this congregation who are helping out that way. And the church decided at their budget to give $2,000 towards Anna's wage, which was really exciting. And they're looking at other ways. They're talking about getting all the staff to at least sit in on the scripture lesson so they know more about scripture. So those things are happening. Our church has got see scripture as being an important ministry. Teaching SRE, we'd love you to help to teach SRE. It can be a little bit daunting, but it's the sort of thing that we don't throw people into the deep end. We get people like Diane to just help initially until you feel confident to teach. If you don't want a teacher, we just need a helper. It's great to have someone helping. And then sponsoring a class. So financing. We're getting to the stage now. I'm on a committee, and with there's so many gaps in our scripture, we have to pay someone. So we got Anna Davis to work 3 days a week to fill a whole lot of gaps. So she's teaching 500 kids. So there's 500 kids hearing the gospel that weren't hearing the gospel before through Anna. So are we really, we're looking at paying someone for 3 days a week. So that's quite a substantial expense. So if you can help out in any way, if you think that you can't teach but you can help out financially, we'd really appreciate that. So if you have a look at those sheets there, I've got on the back of the sheet the ways that you can help out and the bank account if you want to put a one-off donation, or we've got some people just like you sponsor it. At World Vision Kid, you sponsor a kid in a scripture class, and that's another way you can do it. So look, all those things are really great. I thought we might just finish with a prayer. Lord, we thank you that you love children. We thank you that children have a special part in your kingdom. Help us as adults to be more aware of children, to spend quality time with them, to listen well, to laugh with them, to treasure them, to protect them, and to tell them about you. Help us to have a heart for lost children. We pray for those involved in teaching scripture. Help them to show your love and kindness. We pray that more workers will join this important children's ministry, and we pray that you will provide financial support for it. In Jesus' name, amen.